Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Seems like just a few days ago we were doing this. This Advent season, we have a series, and the series is on forerunners. This week, the focus is on the prophets of the Old Testament as forerunners to Christ. Then next week, we're going to be focusing on John the Baptist as the imminent forerunner of Christ, followed by in week three, the sending of the 72 as forerunners for Christ in his trip down to Jerusalem. And then our last week, we're going to be focusing on teachers in the church as forerunners of Christ's second coming. This week, our focus is on the Old Testament prophets. And when I was growing up and someone told me, you know, would say the word prophet, I would think, well, kind of like a really rugged, outdoorsy guy that looks like Santa Claus. Kind of old with a beard, you didn't want to get too close to him, and he had a lot of stuff to say. But when you think about prophets, simply think of an arrow going from God to us. The role of the prophet was to represent God to people, whereas, for example, the role of the priest then would be to represent people up to God. The prophets in the Old Testament spoke on many themes. A few of them, some of the major themes they spoke on, were the uniqueness of Yahweh as the Lord and the one true God. The prophets told people to value justice and mercy over ceremonial legalism, to remember the poor and the downtrodden, and also words of caution that if the people did not repent and get things right, that God would send an enemy to wipe them out. But the most important message of the prophets would be to announce and to proclaim the coming Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ. There were prophets who wrote books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and the 12 minor prophets come to mind. There were other prophets like Elijah and Elisha, and then there were prophets who were also civil, were involved in the civil realm in government. Nathan, Samuel, and Moses all come to mind. Our text for this remembrance of forerunners was chosen because it shows not only who prophets are, but also what their role was and what kind of relationship they enjoyed with the Lord. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 begins with a phrase that would have struck fear into the heart of the Israelites in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah had been the king in Judah for 52 years. He became king when he was 16 years old. Teenagers, preteens. There is no limit to what you can do, good or bad. There's no difference between a 16-year-old living back in King Uzziah's day and being 16 today, except for the expectations that older people have of you. It's a shame that older people have such low expectations for people that are in your age group. You are capable of more than you imagine and much more than is expected of you. When a king like Uzziah died, who had been king for 52 years, most of the Israelites would have known no other king. And his death would be the same as the president, vice president, House of Representatives, Senate, and Supreme Court all either dying or resigning on the same day. It would have meant chaos. It would have meant the average Israelite would go, well, now what? Are we going to have a war determining who our next king is going to be? What comes next? We don't know. We are afraid. And to this scene of chaos, of disorder and of fear, Isaiah sees the Lord, not a king, sitting on the throne, high and exalted. In the most troubling of times, it is comforting to remember that the Lord always is on his throne. And even though there may not have been a human ruler over the people of God at that time, God was the one in control. Isaiah stands before the Lord in his presence, And God wonders as he's speaking to himself, who shall we send? Who's going to bring my message, what I have to say to the people down there? Who's going to speak on my behalf? And Isaiah, caught up in the moment, says, here am I, send me. And then they wrote a hymn about it, right? Isaiah probably thinks, I'm going to be a good messenger prophet. I'm going to give a good message. I'm going to go to the Israelites and tell them that, don't worry, God's on his throne. Everything's going to be okay, even though our king has died. God's going to give me good, easy, fun words to say, and I might even be the popular guy. But the message that God gives him could not have been one that Isaiah expected to proclaim. Go and tell this people, these people reeling from the shock of losing their king. Be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving, make the hearts of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. And it's no wonder that Isaiah comes back with, well, for how long, O Lord? Are you going to do this for a day, a week? This isn't really a popular message. I'm beginning to reconsider my offer for you to send me. For how long? God answers, until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. Isaiah has three choices he can make at this point. He can either say, no thanks, not going to do it. He can give tacit approval to the Lord and then go back to the people and invent a feel-good message to tell them, a therapeutic message for them in their hard time. Or he can say, as a prophet, it is my job to represent God to people. This is his message. It's a tough one, but that is the message I am going to proclaim. This isn't the first time that God had given his prophets a hard message or something difficult to do. Elijah had to stand up to hundreds of prophets of Baal and had to run for his life from Jezebel and Ahab. He told the prophet Hosea to marry an unfaithful woman, a prostitute. He told Ezekiel to lie on his side for 390 days. Jonah was sent into the belly of a beast, figuratively and literally, when he went to Nineveh and watched as the Lord forgave Israel's number one enemy. It's easy to be a prophet. It's hard to be a good prophet and a faithful prophet. It's easy to be a prophet to claim to speak on God's behalf. Scripture warns us about this, and 1 John 4, 2-3 tells us what the mark of a true prophet in these New Testament times is. John writes, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. The mark of a true prophet today is, are they talking about Jesus? Or are they prattling on about something else? And even the prophets in the Old Testament pointed to Christ. Jesus says in Luke 24, after his resurrection, to his disciples, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was written in all of the scriptures concerning himself. He also says in John chapter 5, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Jesus served the role as prophet also in revealing God to us as a God of holiness. He never sinned. He took his behavior seriously. And he did what no other human being was able to come close to doing. He fulfilled the law. He revealed to us a God of compassion, healing the sick, driving out demons, comforting the grieving. And he revealed to us a God of grace by forgiving sins, by dying on the cross, by fulfilling the law for us and being punished for our sins. When you look at the cross and you see Christ suffering there, suffering patiently for those of us who put him there, what kind of God is revealed to you? Not one that man would create. Man wants a God who's all about behavior modification and control. Man wants a God who says, you want to be saved? This is how you do it. But the God that Christ reveals to us is a God who saves us. It is Jesus. And so now we, who behold Jesus Christ there on Calvary, have a job to do. We are prophets. We are the ones in today's world that reveal God to people. People for whom he has died. Oh, you say, well, I mean prophets, right? You're asking me to be a prophet, right? To eat locusts and wild honey? That was John the Baptist, and that's next week. Okay. I'm not good enough, Pastor. I don't know my Bible. My life is upside down, inside out. There's no way that I can be a prophet. I still have my doubts about all of this. You want to know what the criteria for being a prophet is? It's right here in our text in Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah, at his commissioning service there in the temple, in the middle of his commissioning service, he cries out, "Woe to me, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah, in the middle of his commissioning service, says, "Stop everything. I'm a sinner. I live with sinners. There's nothing good in me." He would later go on to say that good works are like filthy rags. And so this man who knows he's a sinner cries out and says, "I can't be a prophet. I'm not good enough." God's response, I didn't think of that. We'll have to go find somebody who's worthy to be a prophet, right? What does God do? He doesn't say that. "One of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" So what's the criteria for being a prophet? You sin and you're forgiven. You sin and you're forgiven. So you meet the criteria for being a prophet. And we have a very important prophetic role to play in the world. The role of the prophet was to tell people what God wanted them to hear. Sometimes this was a message about idolatry, or in the Old Testament, cozying up to foreign powers. It may have been about the threat of invasion, the importance of looking after the orphan and widow, of not making a display of religiosity, and of not mocking the Lord in his house. But the primary function of the prophet, their primary message in the Old Testament, and the only message they have in the New Testament, is to prepare people for the coming or returning Messiah. And in that regard, we have a role to play. To tell people what God has already done, and to tell them what he is about to do. One of the saddest questions that was ever asked in all of my 5 years of ministry, right? Back in Nebraska, one of the saddest questions that was ever asked me was asked to me by someone who very well intentioned and had no idea what they were really saying. But they came to me and they said, "When are you going to teach a class on evangelism. When are you going to teach a class on evangelism? Any Steelers fans? Anyone a Steelers fan because their spouse is a Steelers fan and it's easier around the house to... Do you need to take a class to learn how to be a Steelers fan? To learn how to talk football? Or hockey, if you're a Penguins fan? Do you need to take a class to learn how to talk about hockey if you love hockey? Whatever your profession is, do you need to take a class to be able to talk to people incessantly about what you do for a living? No. Politics. Do you need someone to say, this is how you carry on a political discussion with your friends? No. Because these are things we care about, and we know how to talk about them because we're interested in them. So why would you have to teach a class on evangelism? When I heard that person ask that question, looking back at it, actually, the thought that crosses my mind is, I haven't done my job. Because if I've been proclaiming Christ powerfully, biblically, effectively, if I've been proclaiming Him as Savior and Lord, as the King who is reigning and as the one who is coming, who's going to raise the dead and give everlasting life, if I've been doing my job, the Spirit's definitely going to do His. And this person will have no trouble talking about the best news and the most important thing that they have ever heard. When someone says they want a class in evangelism, what they're really saying is, I feel obligated to talk about Christ, but for whatever reason, I don't have the desire. So as we go into this Advent season, knowing that we are now in the role of prophet, of revealing God to the world, my prayer for you, and I ask that it be your prayer for each other, is that God would equip you to be a prophet, a true prophet, not a prophet of doom and gloom, like the men in the Old Testament were sometimes asked to be, but a prophet whose job it is to simply tell people the best news they're ever going to hear, that their sins are forgiven, that they will live forever with God in the new heavens and the new earth. That God would equip you to desire to be this kind of prophet by giving you a love for and understanding of His love for you in Jesus Christ. May that be our prayer this Advent season and into the future. In Jesus' name, amen.